Locked in a room with the Jesus and Mary chain. Who's... Wait. He got it. You remind me astoundingly of Paul Joseph Moore of the Blue Nile. Especially from yeah, fellow countryman. It's another group from Glasgow. Where's East Kilbride?
Did you say country group from Glasgow?
Countryman, fellow countryman.
This is country group from Glasgow.
No.
That's like I've seen him before.
Well, okay. Now, what's the current lineup? William N. James Reed, but who's the drummer? And it's not Douglas Hart anymore, is it?
Douglas would be offended at that because Douglas is a bassist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Drummer
isn't Bobby Gillespie
anymore.
But it's not Douglas either, is it?
No, it's never been Douglas. Douglas is the bass player.
But that's not him on bass, is it?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
He looks very different than the person at the Roxy. Okay. Did he lose weight?
No, Douglas has never been a drummer.
I know. It was Bobby Gillespie.
Yeah. Yes,
but it didn't look like Douglas, did it?
Yes, Douglas did lose weight.
Oh, okay. And that's it, so the only difference is that. Okay. So the new drummer is Johnny?
Johnny. Mm-hmm. Johnny Muir.
Muir?
Mm-hmm. Johnny Muir.
Muir? Yeah, we've got a few of those here. That's okay. I'm kind of expecting this to happen. It's not much you can do when you're backstage. I tried to put this together with you guys in December. When you're here, I'll just move this around. I'm a long-standing fan of what you do, and watching other Americans kind of key into the music and make a lot of different descriptions for it. How do you describe the sound of what you do?
I mean, you don't really have to, do you? I mean, if you have to describe what you've done, I mean, what's the point of having done it, you know? The record doesn't need a description. It stands up for itself.
Well, then how do you feel about the different descriptions that have been made of your music?
They annoy me. What about you?
I don't like descriptions of the music, really. In a perfect world, we'd make records and nobody'd ever talk about them. People would just listen.
But it's not a perfect world.
That's true.
It's far. And a lot of that comes out. Let me ask you this. Do you like James or Jim better?
Jim.
Jim? Okay. I've seen it both ways. There's a lot of darkness in the music that you do. Where does that come from?
There's a lot of darkness everywhere, really, isn't there? I mean, why shouldn't that be the case in a pop music LP?
I like that. I think part of the reason that I like the music is that a lot of the sound is real familiar. When you do that, you're getting a chance to... How long have you been here this tour around now?
3 weeks.
So this is, and it sounds very much it's early in the day for me. I'm a nighttime person. It sounds pretty much what I just heard in the sound check. Pretty much the same show.
Yeah, I mean it's.
What's new?
It's very new songs. Well, two new stage songs. The last time, did we play Sowing Seeds? The last time we were here.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
Don't remember. Well, Some Candy Talking, and that's a new song. And
on the stage.
Yes, we did plan to do a couple of other songs, but we've been so busy in this tour, we've not really had much time to rehearse or go through them. We're not rehearsal type people.
No, but you just worked very hard, that sound check. I mean, when you do a show, it comes, and even a lot of the public image that there is of you is that you're very insouciant, that you're very carefree, that you just kind of go and do it.
That was quite a short sound check for us, really. Usually, sound checks last about an hour.
It's
much longer.
I wasn't going to say that, but you said it for me. So that's an image of a real hard-working group to me. I mean, you were very careful about the sound there. Is there a discrepancy between those two parts?
mean, we're all careful about the sound. I mean, he's usually the most particular about the sound, actually.
I noticed that. It seemed to me as though the two of you were more aware of the fact that that auditorium was going to be full of people tonight than your sound guy was.
Yeah, you're probably right. The sound man needs a good hard kick up the backside. He's not the perfect sound man for the Jesus and Mary Chain, but...
Who would the perfect sound man be?
Somebody that would want to be in the group, would want to make that kind of music, but just realise that they're not. Somebody that wants to take part, really. Somebody that... I mean, this is unkind to Dave, because Dave, he does try, you know.
It's a common thing. A year ago January, say, or just about like a year ago March, the singles were just starting to come out. And you've taken, certainly, England by storm. You took all the NME critics' polls, you topped all of that, the readers' polls, everything was in it. How is that, and you're making it quite an impact on America, at least from the critical side so far. How does that affect... How has that affected you?
That's a difficult question to answer, really. This asking for a self-analysis answer.
Has life changed?
Life has changed materially. Whether we've changed as people, I don't know. That's something that you'd probably... I'd be able to answer in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm actually living it, so I don't know if I've changed or I'm changing.
Are you having fun with it?
Most of the time, I'm not.
Really? How come?
Because I don't like traveling the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like doing interviews. I don't like making records. I don't like 99% of what I do, but I do it because the 1% sort of makes it worthwhile.
No, wait, come again, why do you do it?
Because the 1%, I mean, you're getting me to think people. Too deep here.
If you want to talk about that, I mean, people by nature are never contented. It's like you take anybody in the street and say, are you happy? I mean, if anybody tells me they are, they're lying or they're taking drugs. It's as simple as that. I always wanted to be what I am just now. Now it's happened, I want to be something else, you know what I mean? It's like I've accepted that I'm never going to be totally happy. What I'm doing now is slightly better than what I've done in the past. But it's not as good as what people think. Oh God, travel the world in a pop group, you know, reasonably successful. What an ungrateful bastard he is if he says he doesn't like it. But you know, it's just not what you think it's going to be. Nothing is. You get what you want, and you want more. That's a simple fact of life. That's human nature.
So what do you want to do next? What's the more? What's in the future?
Obviously, the more is for the group to become more successful. It's for more recognition. We've got a lot of recognition for what we've done, but I want even more. I want everybody to say the Jesus and Mary Chain are the best group ever. I don't want a few underground magazines to say it. I want everybody to say the Jesus and Mary Chain are just so good, and I want it to be true.
What about the critics who wonder if you're going to be around in a couple of years?
I mean, who cares? You know what I mean? I don't really care what anybody else thinks or says. You know, it's
no, wait, you just contradicted yourself, though. You said you wanted everybody to think that.
You're absolutely right. I'm talking about critics, of course. I mean, there's so much rubbish being written about, like, Psycho Candy and the group, and the people that I've learned to sort of think, well, you know, like, who cares, you know?
But the critics are kind of a bridge to you and the audience, aren't they?
The critics are too important. The critics are silly little men that write about records. It's like, what happens is they lift their opinions, put it on a piece of paper, and everybody looks at it. I mean, what gives these people the right to say that their opinion is worth more than anybody else's?
How about disc jockeys?
Disc jockeys serve a purpose, they play records.
Jim, now are you working on writing new things? It's nice to know that I have a use in life.
Well, we do try. It's like, sometimes he does more writing if I do, let's say, a few interviews, because I've got a bigger mouth than he has. So probably at the moment he's doing more writing than I. So you should ask him.
Shall I ask you? William.
The next LP is beginning to take shape. The songs are almost all written, and what we've got to figure out now is how we're going to record them, which is a momentous task.
What's the question of how?
How are we going to record them?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something we'll have to think out in great detail. And then probably we're going into a recording studio, we'll probably forget what we thought out.
Oh, we weren't really sure about Psycho Candy when we first started it. It's the way we work, going to the studio with the songs and see what happens.
Yeah. When you go in, you have a vague idea of what the song is going to sound like, and then when you actually start recording it, it sounds totally different, and sometimes it's pleasing, sometimes it's better than what you actually had in mind. It's horrible, but we all hate recording. It's such a make or break sort of operation, really, and it can be extremely depressing.
But you've done so well with it.
We have.
I mean, you must be pleased.
We have.
Obviously, I mean, the feeling of satisfaction you get when you finish a record like Psycho Candy, it makes everything worthwhile. I think it's the best thing that me and him have ever did in our whole life. It's like we created, I mean, together we created Psycho Candy. I mean, it's a wonderful feeling. We did that. I know that if I wasn't in this group, I would think that record was a masterpiece. I've made a record that suits the taste of, you know, similar people to me. And that's fantastic.
Do you work at or are you aware of how sexy the music is?
Huh? Is it sexy?
It's incredibly sexy music. It's very seductive. Don't you think so?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, I'd like to think it was sexy because I like sexy music also.
I'd like to think it was sexy as well because I like sexy music also.
Rolling Stones and Dusty Springfield are a brilliant example of sexy music. Rolling Stones were the wilder side, but Dusty Springfield had a totally sexy voice. A voice that just suggests sex. Brilliant.
Well, the same might be said of yourself, sir.
Thank you.
What a nice smile. But there's also, there's that element of, I don't know, do you know the band Black Flag?
I've heard of them.
With Henry Rollins, when I first played the music for him. He said it reminds me of, and he's a very aggressive performer on stage. He said it's like a real handsome or beautiful person coming up to you and putting their arm around you and twisting a knife in your stomach all at the same time.
That's a good description, though, isn't it?
It's quite a psychotic description as well.
That description appeals to me. I know what he means.
Well, yeah, I knew exactly what he meant when he said it, because there's that incredible come hither, and there's a terrible, this sense of something very dangerous, of going down into in a hole, living in a hole, of. But let me ask you this: there's a couple of different places where you twist words around. I really like in Just Like Honey, where you say the hardest thing you'll ever do is the hardest thing is walking back to you. And then you've got about in Hardest Walk about what the hardest walk you'll ever make is walking away. There's a dichotomy there. But I really liked him, Just Like Honey, the way you twisted that around. Yeah? Is that you? Do you do most of the songwriting, William?
It's generally it's very even, but
you're just talking about the wrong songs. Okay. No, Just Like Honey was a joint sort of working, but the particular part that you're speaking about was due to William.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do the angry parts come from? You said, I mean, there's anger everywhere, but.
I mean, everybody's angry at times. I mean, it's, Psycho Candy's like a personality on record. Do you know what I mean? There's nobody that's one the same person every day, every minute. And it's like that record is just, it's a total reflection of our personalities, really.
Now, you commented one time, I think it was you, that you're 100 different people. Who are you right now?
Meek and mild and shy at the moment.
And who are you, William?
I'm more outward, than I usually am, and but to your average person, I just look meek and mild.
Well, there's something too. There's an interesting dichotomy in what you do, in that you're curled up on the floor with your guitar. You look almost like a little boy with a teddy bear. You look as innocent as possible, and you're ripping out the most extraordinarily wrenching feedback. Are you going to stay on the floor when you do concerts?
Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. It all depends on the noise coming from the amp. Sometimes you just can't get a good noise unless you're curled up on the floor pointing the guitar towards the amp. I like to stand up and I like to face the audience to see who's actually come to see us, but it's not possible sometimes. But it's not possible for a whole concert.
Well, who does come to see you? Who do you find so far?
People.
You know that without standing up, though.
Well, it's just people and it's just faces. Faces and haircuts and clothes. That's who comes to see us.
Alan's gonna make us stop. Thanks. No, we gotta go eat dinner. I'm looking forward to the show tonight. But I know what you mean, because when I go to a show, I'll walk around the hall tonight to see who came to see Jesus and Mary Chain. When I play the record, who am I playing it to? Any thoughts for Southern California? I was gonna ask you about your photography, but I won't have time.
Who told you about my photography?
I'm a Jesus and Mary Chain fan.
Any thoughts? Words of wisdom? No.
Any parting shots from you?
Southern California should listen to Psycho Candy and learn some valuable lessons on how to make pop music.
Thanks a lot.
Southern California could do with a couple of winters.
With a couple of winters? No, God, no. That's why we're all here. Because we can't...